Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you heard us talk about the Underground Railroad and things that were taking place as they were going rescuing victims of sex trafficking, and how these particular government law enforcement officials were really frustrated with the government not being able to, they were kind of held back by all the federal regulations and all from going in and rescuing children that they knew that was being held for sex slavery and sex trafficking and all that. Well, they formed their own organization, and we talked about that early on. It's called the Underground Railroad. But the exciting thing is they have a new movie coming out called The Abolitionists, and this movie will actually educate the world and our community and our churches on what's taking place. Let's take a look now.
So she's 14.
Yes.
Here's the thing, does she do everything?
If she wants more money, she better ask.
There's not gonna be any problems.
Exactly.
And she's 14 for sure.
Yes.
Laura.
Yeah.
You're the man. People travel all over the world and to engage in sex with children.
They're this age, and they're this age, being forced into sexual exploitation.
There were girls, the youngest of which was 10 years old. She was actually 6 months pregnant.
These babies are having babies. Even the ones that are saying, yeah, I'm 18, and I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old.
The demand side is what drives it. People want to buy that.
If me and my team don't find these kids and go for these kids, no one is going to. It's our job. We have to do something.
When we're in a foreign government, we work with the foreign government. We pretend to be one of those traveling people on a sex tour. We're going to go after these bad guys. Anywhere they are, we're gonna find it, we're gonna root them out, we're gonna pull these kids out. The typical sting is to do like the bad guys do. They sell kids for sex.
I knew that night that the rest of my life would be spent rescuing and saving these little girls.
Our best weapon is our stealthiness and our ability to really trick the bad guys.
Good people don't know how vast this problem is.
Is this a tragedy? But what's so good about it, they're actually educating us and letting us know what's going on. Some of the reports are, it's reportedly or allegedly stated that there's more slaves in the world today than there's ever been. They're sex slaves. Children are being held as sex slaves. If you have not yet gone to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and read and watch the program called The Pink Room. We can understand how these things begin to happen and how society's taken advantage of them because of the global ability to use the internet today, where good things are taking place, evil things are taking place too, where people are purchasing people online and through these kind of organizations. And so we thank God for this Underground Railroad and what they're doing. When we get back, and I encourage you to partner with them too. It's a simple thing. You can partner with them for $25 a month, and you know that you're participating in the process of them going, and they show up just like the SEAL team, and they rescue these kids. They did it in Haiti. We have some things on VFN Torch for you to be able to see that. But they go right in, they work with the local governments, they come in there, and they have to actually catch the people in the act, and they've done that, and they've had successful prosecutions and stopped a lot of things. And so we thank God for them. We want to pray that the Lord would just end the sex trafficking in the world.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
One of the most famous pieces of sacred music ever, Handel's Messiah, debuted in 1741.
A composer for the Chapel Royal in London, Handel was said to frequently declare pleasure in setting the scriptures to music. But in 18th century London, such an idea as performing words of the Bible was highly controversial.
When Charles Jennens wrote the text for a musical performance about the life of Christ, completely taken from the Bible, he asked Handel to compose the music.
In 24 days, Handel completed the 260-page oratorio and performed it with huge success in Ireland. Not so in London a year later.
Handel conducted 30 performances of Messiah, but he considered it a piece for the Easter season, not for Christmas. Verses from Isaiah, Matthew, Job, Psalms, Revelation, and more grace the pages of this well-known masterpiece.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you think about this. God, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. God's God. He's always ready. He's always God. He's never like warming up, you know, me. I am. You know, he's not doing that. Mm-mm. He is ready. He's waiting for us to believe what he said. As a matter of fact, he had a prophet. His name was Ezekiel. And he talks about in Ezekiel 37, and he takes Ezekiel out to all these bones in this field, all these dry bones that are in this field. And he starts walking them back and forth, and he starts talking to Ezekiel, and he says, son of man, he says, can these bones live? Now, you hear us talking often about what's taking place in society, but we're not giving up, but we're telling you how things are. But you first have to face the fact that it's a valley of dry bones. And then you got to begin to speak to the bones. You got to begin to say what God said. He's saying, listen, what do you see here? Can these bones live? Can these bones live? So he's talking to Ezekiel. Ezekiel had the faith to know that even though this is a valley of dry bones, even though America may look dry today and the church looks dry today, and you're thinking, all I hear when I go to that particular gathering is rattling bones, do you believe that God can cause those people to live again, that God can raise the church up again, that God is waiting on us? And so he says to the prophet, he says to Ezekiel, can these things live? Can these bones live? And he's like, yes, well, then I want you to say it. I want you to speak. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look right now. This is the Ezekiel prophecy. And begin to think about your dry bone situation in your life and your relationships with your church or and your community and your business. And begin to, you got to partner with God. You got to say, you know, I believe God, this can change. And begin to speak that. Watch this.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Exactly what God is saying to us. You know, what do you see? Do you only see dry bones that can never live? Do you see hopelessness? Do you look around and see this is tragedy taking place? Or do you look like, you know what, even though it's dry, even though things look difficult,
I believe what God says. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to begin to talk about what Jesus said specifically, that we have the power to speak things into existence. We can talk to dry bones. We can talk to dry mountains. We can talk to the situation. But what are we saying? Are we agreeing with the enemy? Are we agreeing that that they'll never live? Are we agreeing that our relationships won't make it? Are we saying there won't be revival or there's not a third great awakening going on right now? Are we saying it is? And begin to speak that out and begin to watch it manifest. It's very exciting. We get back, we're going to talk about the words of Jesus.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment. And in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name. And you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista. And all of a sudden, the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
Hi, my name is John Maxwell and Jim Zook from Capistrano Beach, California, who's a networker. Ask me, John, on Minute with Maxwell, would you talk on the subject of lead? Well, you know, Jim, that's a very hard subject for me to talk on. Lead, leadership, leading. I mean, that's who I am. That's my life. I've got a question to ask you, Jim. I think you know what lead means. I know what lead means. It means to be out front, to be an example, to have somebody follow us. The question I have for all of us this weekend is, who are we leading? Perhaps it's our children. And if we are leading them, where are we leading them? What am I doing purposeful right now that would lead someone else to be a better person, to grow, to learn, to stretch? I have a challenge for you, Jim. In fact, it's going to be a challenge for me also, and for all of those who watch Minute with Maxwell. We already know that lead means get out front, take somebody somewhere, be an example. The challenge is this weekend, ask yourself, who is it in my life, friend, neighbor, coworker, family member, who is it that could use a little leadership, just a little boost, a little bit of adding value to their life, and why not in these next couple days do something with them, for them, that would lead them to higher ground?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? When you're watching it, what God was doing and what he was saying manifest, and how they put that together was just powerful. It's Rabbi Trinke, Rabbi Trinke, which did a really good job on that. But Jesus said specifically, notice that he first said, do you believe these bones can live? I mean, how many parents look at their children and they don't ever believe a positive thing about their child? But then you can actually begin, do you believe that child can succeed? Do you believe that it'll work for them? Parents should believe their life will succeed greater than they believe it. So they could turn to you and go, hey, pick yourself up. You can make this thing. I can see you making it. Dry bones. Anyway, so then you think about that. And so God was asking him, you know, can they?
Right.
And how many people say it's over for America? It's like, it's not over for America. America can live. America's still strong if we'll just repent,
right,
and turn back to God. In our next program, we're going to have, you know, Jonathan Kahn prophesying and praying at the National Prayer Breakfast. It's just a very powerful word. But even though it's a difficult word, in that word, he's saying, but if we repent, I mean, there's a way out of this. And so the first thing you have to do is believe. I mean, if you look at the dry situation in America and think it's just, I mean, I can't believe these candidates that are running and things that are going on with media, and then you just agree with it and say it's hopeless, God can't work with you.
Right.
But if you believe, as you're hearing us now for 4 years talk about
hope
and life, love and faith, and that the third great awakening, and now you're seeing, if you listen, if you've been watching us and listen to us over time, you've heard us speaking these things out for quite some time, but now you're seeing them begin to manifest. And this is just the beginning. If we'll understand, God is waiting for us and to answer and believe. So the first thing we have to do is believe that they can live. In other words, if you're seeing something negative, you have to begin to believe something positive is going to happen. Is that what God wants? Secondly, you have to know what God's will is. God's will was for those bones to live.
Mm-hmm.
When God's asking you a question, he's not saying, well, I don't really know.
He already knows the answer.
You know, here's my 2 cents. He's like, oh, great, next. And so, but the second thing is, once you believe it, once you believe they can, you got to begin to speak to that dry situation. And America is very dry, but all America needs is for you to begin to speak over it, begin to speak to it, and be ready to adjust as things come alive, because it'll be totally different. I think about this. I think about the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11, where he's talking, and let me read that to you so you can just see what he's saying to us very specifically. You can see it on your screen. You know, Jesus said, you know, have faith in God. That's so important. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they said will happen, it'll be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be done for you. That's so powerful, isn't it? But look at the last part of this. It says, and when you stand praying, in other words, you're having this conversation with God, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that the Father in heaven may forgive you and forgive your sins. Isn't that powerful? So he's saying, Jesus is telling us, I need you to look at the dry bones, hear what I want with those bones, and I want you to begin to speak to those dry bones, speak to those mountains, and speak to the situation. And the church, I mean, there's a lot of negative things going on. But if we're seeing something wrong happen, we could begin to prophesy something right.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to prophesy something right. And it's so important. I mean, your family needs to hear, you know, positive things. You got to break the lockjaw maybe in your mouth, and you're thinking all this negative thoughts are going on in your head, and your countenance or your face is like, you know, you can eat oats from a tailpipe because you're so depressed over what the media is just feeding into you, instead of realizing, you know what? You have the power to move this mountain. You have the power in your words, your spoken words. But this is one big thing he talks about. He says, but when you find yourself in this place, standing amongst dry bones, needing to prophesy the word of God, if you find that you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, if you're going to have to be forgiven. You can't. It's not going to work if you're walking around with unforgiveness in your heart, but also that other people are holding unforgiveness towards you. It just locks you up. God's not wanting just to forgive somebody for no reason at all. Realize that if you don't forgive them, he can't forgive you.
That's right.
He's wanting to forgive you. And it's so important to understand that forgiving someone's for your own benefit, because he says, if you forgive them, I'll forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. If you want forgiveness in your life, you have people that walk around going like, I just feel so condemned, and I just feel like God doesn't forgive me. And you talk to him a while, and you find out you're holding unforgiveness against this person, this person, this person, this person. As a matter of fact, the whole world is their fault, right?
Right.
And they're stuck in that place of feeling unforgiven because they're holding unforgiveness towards others. But Jesus says, if you forgive them, I'll forgive you. That's the first groundwork for beginning this prophecy over the dry bones. And there's not a better example of that than this particular officer who conjured up false charges on a man as a police officer and had him arrested. It wasn't true, but he had him arrested and testified against this man, had him sent to jail, and he was lying. But eventually the police officer gets caught. He goes to jail, the same jail.
Mm-hmm.
They end up working in a faith-based program where they're understanding forgiveness. And watch what happens. The power of forgiveness, where this particular citizen who was arrested on trumped up charges, he had the power and the grace and the understanding to forgive this police officer for what he did. It's powerful. Let's take a look.
It all went down on this block in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Back in 05, Jamel McGee says he was minding his own business when a police officer accused him of and arrested him for dealing drugs.
You saying the officer made it up?
Yeah, it was all made up.
Of course, a lot of accused men make that claim, but not many arresting officers agree.
So you phonied the report?
I did. I falsified the report.
This is former Benton Harbor police officer Andrew Collins.
Were you just trying to chalk up an arrest?
Well, basically, the start of that day, I was going to make sure I had another drug arrest.
And in the end, you put an innocent guy in jail?
Correct. Yeah.
You lost everything.
I lost everything. My only goal was to seek him when I got home and to hurt him.
Really?
That was my goal.
Eventually, that crooked cop was caught, served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing.
Of course, Jamel was exonerated, but he still spent 4 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Today, both men are back here in Benton Harbor, which is a small town. Maybe a little too small.
Hey guys, thank you.
Last year, by sheer coincidence, they both ended up at Mosaic, a faith-based employment agency, where they now work side by side in the same cafe.
Oh, excuse me.
And it was in these cramped quarters that the bad cop and the wrongfully accused had no choice but to have it out.
And I said, honestly, I have no explanation. All I can do is say I'm sorry.
And Jamel says that was all it took.
That was pretty much what I needed to hear.
Today, they're not only cordial.
Saturday, we went to the trampoline park.
They're friends.
You know, we talk about life.
Such close friends. Not long ago, Jamel actually told Andrew he loved him.
And I just started weeping because he doesn't owe me that. I don't deserve that, you know?
Did you forgive for his sake or for yours?
No, for our sake. Not just us, for our sake.
Jamel went on to tell me about his Christian faith and his hope for a kinder mankind. He wants to be an example. So now he and Andrew give speeches together about the importance of forgiveness and redemption.
Grab this, we'll set it over there.
And clearly, if these two guys from the coffee shop can set aside their bitter grounds, what's our excuse?
So powerful. Wow. That's the example. If for our sake, for the nation's sake, for your family's sake, we're to be able to, so many people are speaking things out and it's not coming to pass because of the unforgiveness that's there. I mean, this 4 years in jail, I mean, think about it. 4 years in jail for charges that he did not commit any crime at all. But God brought them to a point to realizing this was unjust, but I'll forgive you of that. That's powerful, yeah. Very powerful. You know, and you think about it, once you're dealing with unforgiveness and you're forgiving folks and living a life that doesn't offend others, I think about Walter Wink. When Walter Wink said very specifically, we can begin to speak these things out like Ezekiel was speaking them out, and we begin to form the future. Today is what happens. This is what he said. He says, prayer infuses the air of a time yet to be into the suffocating atmosphere of the present. History belongs to the intercessors who believe the future into being. I mean, think about that. You have to begin to believe what God's saying and speak it from a groundwork of forgiveness. We're talking about the power of forgiveness. Mm. When this police officer went out and had these trumped up charges on this man, he was convicted of false charges, which should help everybody understand everybody that goes to jail is not guilty of those charges. The men, as long as you're dealing with men, there's some mistakes that can be made. Not only just, you know, evil plans, but people can, you know, make a mistake. That's why we have a jury of our peers, which is part of the Bill of Rights, by the way, which is very, very important. But he forgave him. And just watching forgiveness just stirs up faith and hope in you when you see that power. And imagine if the church begins to forgive. So God begins to forgive the church. Revival is when God forgives us, but revival comes when we forgive others. You know, God forgives us when we forgive others. Praise God. And that foundation of that. And people say, well, they owe me something. It's like, when you find out what you owe God, you're willing to let everybody go.
That's right.
Because every man has fallen short of the glory of God. And many people that are holding unforgiveness towards folks, it's not just. It's just something the enemy convinced them of that, hey, you know, the mailman drove past my house and now he did something wrong. It's like, mailman don't even know that you existed, for example.
All right.
Or a driver on the road, for example, that cuts you off, and all day long you're talking about that driver, but that driver has no idea he did it. No idea at all. But all day long you're talking about that driver.
Yeah.
That can happen with relationships. That can happen with business. It can happen in ministry. It can happen a whole bunch of different ways. But the biggest thing is that realize that no man owes you anything. Mm-hmm. And then you can begin to speak over these dry bones. We'll begin to speak out when we have a foundation of just, you know, humility of going, you know, God, you know, I just want what you want. And I'll say whatever you want me to say. And that was powerful how we could begin to form the future today by beginning to speak over those dry bones and begin to prophesy and begin to pray. Prayer infuses the air of the time yet to be into the suffocating atmosphere of the present. History belongs to the intercessors who believe the future into being. What are you believing? What are you confessing? What are you saying? Are you hearing what God is saying? It's time for us to rise up. Realize you can move mountains with your faith and what you believe from a foundation of forgiveness. This is so encouraging to see what's going on. All these things that are happening to be able to bring in the harvest. You're the harvester. You're the one that works in the Lord's fields. You're the one that's to be discipled and to learn the ways and the voice of the Lord, to abide with them and to go in the fields and begin to tell people about the goodness of God in the land of the living. To begin to speak to these dry bones. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to begin to have faith and say, "What God, what are you saying? God, I forgive everyone that have anything against or has something against me. I bless them, Lord. I want to be used by you in this day. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you for hope. I thank you that you're a God that calls things that are not as though they were. That when we agree with you and begin to speak out your word, these things begin to manifest, God. And we thank you even now, Lord, your church is rising, Lord God. We thank you now, Lord, that unity is coming in your body. Christ-centered unity is coming in your body, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that forgiveness is going forth, Lord. We thank you that revival is here and the third great awakening is here, God. We thank you, Lord God, that America lives again, Father God, and we return back to the foundations in which he was first laid. Dear God, thank you for revival. Thank you for the third great awakening, Lord. And we pray a blessing on each and every one of our audience members. In Jesus' name, God bless. Begin to speak over those dry situations in Jesus' name.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.